but I think you'll be blessed by that. Some of you know, some of you don't, that we do some work over in Haiti, and we have been there a few times, and I would say my most fun time as a Christian has been spending a few days with a guy named Pastor Brian, who is here today to share with us about the things going on in Haiti. And so as we bring him up, just remember, I don't know what he's going to talk about today, but he probably doesn't even know yet. But come on up, bro. This guy right here, if you could, if you can just tell him a little, I don't know what you're going to talk about, so if you can just at least give him a little bit of your testimony, because it's so amazing what God's done in your life, and then let it rip. But let me pray for you first, my favorite gum scraper. Lord, I just thank you so much for Brian and his family, Lord, and all the amazing things that you're doing in and through his life, Lord. Thank you that you brought him here this morning. And I pray that you'd speak through him in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. It's all yours. Here, let me make a shift.
Let's do it.
All right. Let's
Amen.
Do it.
All right. Praise the Lord. Amen. Lord, we do come before you today and so grateful and thankful, Lord, that we can gather together in your name. Lord, we pray that you would fill each and every one of us, Lord, that you would bless your people, that you would cause your face to shine upon them, Lord, and just give us grace in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Yeah, I was telling my wife, I got to work on my message. And then last night, the baby went crazy. Wah! Started screaming. I was like, okay, well, this morning will be great. And every time I went to get quiet, you know, it would be like, Hey, anyway, here we go. Amen. He's right. I'm still working on it. She's laughing. She goes, you get the message during the last song. Whoa. Anyway, yeah, praise, just to give you a little of my testimony, you know, I was, my life was a total mess. You know, just by the time I was in my 30s, I had all, like 4 or 5 drunk drivings, in and out of jail, you know, just a mess. I couldn't get set free from drugs and alcohol and all the stuff. And, you know, they tried everything. My dad took me to a hypnosis. Wow. Right? I walked out of there. I go, that isn't going to work. He took me to a psychologist and a psychiatrist, in and out of, like, you know, rehabs, and I was court appointed to the AA program for 5 years. They put me on Anabuse so I wouldn't drink, and I think I got my 4th drunk driving while I was on Anabuse. You know, I mean, it's just nothing worked. I knew I was in trouble, right? So I was in jail again. You know, I thought I knew everything. I thought, man, if you started talking about something, I could interrupt you and I would have all the answers. And I'm like, man, here I am. Finally, I end up behind bars again. I'm like, man, I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm talking about, right? And it was great because some guy came and he handed me a Bible. And it's like, well, hey, I got nothing better to do. Sure, I'll read it. You know, I got plenty of time. Not doing anything else today, right? And so anyway, the guy gave me a Bible, and it was so amazing. You know, I started reading that Bible. It was a New Testament, Psalms and Proverbs, and just started reading it. And, man, I mean, Philippians, Ephesians, Galatians, you know, wow, I got more, you know, I just kept reading it. And after like 2 weeks of reading that Bible in that cell, for 2 weeks solid reading the Bible, all of a sudden, man, I mean, born again, not of a corruptible seed, but incorruptible through the word of God. Amen? Amen. that lives in, and man, all of a sudden I came out of there. I was the happiest guy in jail. I don't know what happened. I didn't know what happened then, but now I know. Amen. And it's like, wow. It's like, I find a guy. Hey, can I read something to you? Yeah. He says, hey, I'd read him the whole book of Philippians. I go, wow. And they go, yeah. What are you doing later? Nothing. Come on over. I'll read you Ephesians. This is amazing. And so I just started reading. It was amazing, man. And I remember I got out of there, and I got out of jail. And no one told me, but I said, I'm going to Calvary Chapel. And I remember there was a chaplain says, did somebody come from that church and invite you? I go, no, I don't know, but that's where I'm going. And so I went there, and I remember Pastor Chuck was just finishing up in Revelation. He goes, next week we'll be starting in the book of Genesis. And I'm like, wow. And so I sat there for the whole 7 years, Genesis didn't, I don't think I missed the study, man. And man, that was the greatest thing that ever happened to me, is to get grounded in the Word of God. We would not be able to make it where we're at now in voodoo land, Haiti, amen? And here we are, this country, 200 years of voodoo, and the only reason that we're able to stay there is because of our foundation in the Word of God. Because constantly, when the enemy comes in like a flood, we have to go, it is written, it is written, it is written. And so, oh, man, just so amazing what the Word of God is when we hide it in our heart. Amen. It is living. It is powerful. And it's so awesome. It's the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And that's what we're going to look at today. We're going to look at some cool stuff. Open your Bibles. First, let's look at Ezekiel chapter 1. And Lord, we do pray once again that you would just fill us with your Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. Amen. In Ezekiel chapter 1, starting in about verse 24, it says, and when they went, we heard the noise of their wings like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty. Oh, I like that. Like the voice of the Almighty, a tumult, like the noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings, and a voice came from above the firmament, and there was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings, these angelic beings. And above the firmament, over their head, was the likeness of a throne, in the appearance like a sapphire stone. On the likeness of the throne was the likeness with the appearance of a man high above it. Also, from the appearance of his waist down, from his waist and upward, I saw, as it were, the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward, I saw, as it was, the appearance of a fire with a brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. Amen? What did Isaiah say? When I saw the Lord high and lifted up, right? The train of his robe filled the temple with glory. And he saw that. And open your Bibles to Daniel chapter 7. Daniel chapter 7, if you read Daniel chapter 7, it's awesome. Daniel, he has this vision, okay? It says, in the first year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and a vision on his head while he was on his bed. And then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. The four great beasts came from the sea, each different from another. The first was like the lion and of eagle's wings, watching till its wings were plucked off, and it was lifted up from the earth, and it made to stand on its 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to it. Suddenly there was another beast, a second beast, like a bear. He raised up on one side, and it had 3 ribs in its mouth between its teeth. And they said this to it, "Arise, devour much flesh." And after this I looked, and there was another like a leopard, and which had on its back 4 wings of a bird. The beast also had 4 heads, and dominion was given to it. And then after this I saw in the night vision, behold, a 4th beast. So what he does, Daniel sees in this, Daniel 7, he has a vision. He's in a dream, and he has this vision, and he's like, what is this? And he sees the sea, and the sea's all stirred up, and he sees these 4 beasts coming up out of the sea. But then in Daniel 7, verse 7, he focuses in on this last beast. And what he says here, he says, and I saw in the night vision, and behold, a 4th beast. So he focuses attention on this 4, dreadfully and terribly and exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring and breaking in pieces. It was trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the other beasts that were before it. And it had 10 horns. I was considering the horns, and there was another horn, a little horn, coming up from among them, because of the three, that the first three that were plucked up out of the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man and a mouth speaking pompous words. So listen, this is what he sees. He sees these four beasts, but on the 4th beast, okay, he sees this beast has 10 horns. And then it has 3 of the horns are plucked out. And then where those 3 were plucked out, this little one comes. And it'll tell us as we keep reading that this little one, this little horn, is the Antichrist, okay? And this is the one that gives us trouble. Amen? This is our problem. All right? It's like, hey, Paul said, I fought the fight. I finished the race. I kept the faith. This little horn, okay, is the one that's causing the problems for us. Amen? We're wondering, man, why are our kids acting like that? It's the horn. Amen? He says, right? This is the problem, right? And we're going to look at that. But you know, it's interesting. It says, but this, I love this. I love the just Daniel 7, the way it's laid out. The first thing he sees is this little horn. Remember, it's a little horn. And then he says, I watched till the thrones were put in place and the Ancient of Days was seated. This is the Father on the throne. Amen. We just read about him. Listen, this is a solution to the horn. Help, right? He said, call on me in your day of trouble, and I will answer you and show you great and awesome things. His garment was white as snow, and his hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. Thousands of thousands ministered to him, 10,000s. Times 10,000 stood before him, the court was seated, and the books were open. Okay? This is the Father on the throne when you come boldly to the throne room of grace. And then it says in verse 13, I was watching in the night vision, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and there they brought near to him before him. They brought him near before him. And then to him was given dominion, glory, the kingdom, that all people, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion, which shall not pass away, and his kingdom, the one which shall not be destroyed. Look at verse 21. I was watching, and the same horn, here we go again, the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them. How many of you sometimes just feel like we're losing? Amen? You're losing. Your kid's gone astray. Your job is messed up. The world, every time you turn on the news, oh no, what's happening now? This thing is falling apart, right? I was watching, and the same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in the favor of the saints of the Most High, and the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. Just a real summary here of what you're looking at. Here's what happens. This horn is making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came. This would be like us being in a football game at the Super Bowl and we're losing 60-0. And there's 2 minutes left in the game. All we want to do is go to, we want to get out of here, right? And get out. We've been humiliated, right? And then all of a sudden, the ref comes and judgment was rendered in favor of the saints of the Most High, and he gave them the kingdom. That's what happened. The horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came, and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High, and he gave them the kingdom. It would be like in the last 2 minutes of the game, all of a sudden the refs come and says, you guys win. Here's a Super Bowl trophy. Let's go do the parade. Really? Yeah, we win. Wow, that was amazing. We won. Hey, listen, you always win. That's what you got to remember. You always win. It doesn't matter when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard, and what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to turn it around for good every time. Amen? Is that amazing? I remember we built this amphitheater. John and these guys and Paul have seen this. We built this amphitheater in front of our Bible training center to start a church on this hill. But we didn't take the whole hill. We didn't need that at first. So we go, we just need this section, and we're going to start out small, and if we need to expand, we will. And so the guy comes and he says, you have to take that other section. Okay, here's our section, and 5 feet over is the next section. I go, well, we don't need that right now. And he says, okay, that's it. If you don't take it, I'm going to go ahead and give this to the voodoo witch doctors, and they're going to start their service right here. I go, really? It's our new church? Really? I go, okay. I'm thinking, wow, okay. Like Elijah on Mount Carmel. Bring them on. The God who answers by fire, him we will serve, right? Well, you let us set up over there. I go get him. And he came back later. Okay, we're not going to do that. Oh, man, we were ready to get some action over here. Can you imagine over there? We're praising the Lord and they're beating their voodoo drums over here. What's that? I don't know. They moved in anyway. They right next to the training center, they got this church now. And man, the whole thing is crazy. It's like every night, people screaming, demon possessions. It's like, okay, here we go. Let's go out again and fight, right? Amen. Hey, it's this horn. And, you know, it's interesting because we're, you know, been over in Haiti for 5 years, and you just learn. It's like you don't want to know about this stuff, but you learn warfare on a different level. You know what I mean? It's like, wow, Chris has been with us. I remember Chris. Remember the first time I brought Chris into the tent city? I go, hey, Chris, man, this is great, bro. He goes, dude, this is amazing, right? We're sitting in there, and all of a sudden they start worship, and this lady in the third row, wow, she flies out across the way and takes out like two or three benches. Wow, wow. He goes, what is this? He's demon possessed. Let's go. And me and Chris got to come out in the name of Jesus. It's like, wow. Remember that? It's like, wow, that was insane. Oh, man. It was interesting because when we cast that demon out of that girl, right in a tent, probably about 20 feet away on the other side of the church, it went into another girl. And so when we came back for the next service, they're like, you guys, we need your help. There's another one. It's like, what do you mean? She's in there. No one's even gone in there. It's like the demoniac in the cave, right? No one's going there, chained up. We're like, where's she at? I go, Chris, you go in. I'm not going in. I'm out of here. Remember that? And we're like, I remember we're all the people are like around. They're like, she's in that tent. Come on, Chris. But praise the Lord, man. It comes out. There's, right? That we have authority in the name of Christ. Amen? Okay, the horn and his whatever it is and all that stuff, it's not going to... It gets scary sometimes, but hey, we're not going to let him win. He doesn't win. Amen? And it's interesting. I picked this guy up at the airport. He's like, dude, I love this place. It's so amazing. I go, let me show you the facility. He goes, oh, Pastor Brian, man. We pull up, and there's a 6-foot voodoo doll on the wall with a stake in the heart, and it's got a bald head. It looks like me. He goes, ah! Ah! What is it? What is it? What do we do? Rip it down. Burn it. Those guys, they spend all their time working on this voodoo doll, you know, all that. Why don't you just use the money for food? We're just going to burn it, right? Don't you have anything better to do? What's voodoo dolls hanging all over the place, man? And, you know, it's I don't know, over there, it's like because of that kind of worship, you see it more clearly than you do in other places. Because at night they start, in a lot of places, they do the voodoo services and they call these evil spirits in. And so you get to see it. It's very interesting over there in Haiti. It's like they don't have mental illness or anything. It's either you're demon possessed or you're not. They don't even have mental illness or medication. It's like, wow. It's like, man. And so it's a whole different thing. And, you know, being over there, you learn a lot. You learn a lot about warfare. You just learn. It's a great training ground, you know. And I remember when I was younger, I went and saw that movie Rambo, right? And I was like, oh man, dude, that was. And I don't know, but I love that movie, dude. I went back. I saw it like three times, man. I just said to get my friends, dude, check this out, dude. This is amazing, right? So that was it, man. I gotta go sign up for the military, dude. I'm like, really? I never thought about the military ever in my life, right? It's like, I'm not that type of guy. But I went over to the recruiter and it's like, into the army. Rambo's in the army. Sign me up. Man, this one's easy. Really? Yeah, sign me up. I wanna be, where did Rambo, where was he stationed, right? Oh man, I got in there, I'm like, kid. I get in, I go through my basic, I go through my advanced individual training, and the guy, I'll never forget it, everyone's getting their orders to go to different places, and the guy goes, you're going to Fort Bragg. I go, what's Fort Bragg? He goes, I hope you like warfare, boy. I go, what do you mean? He goes, that's where they learn warfare, 24 hours around the clock training military. I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I like this anymore. I think I made a mistake. But I went over there, and that's what it was. It was the 18th Airborne Corps, and they trained for war. It was like, that's where the 82nd is. That's where Delta Force. That's where Special Forces. And I was over there, man, and, you know, I mean, I was just praying, I hope we don't have to go anywhere. I remember one time they were issuing us live ammo. We're on alert. I'm like, what does that mean? It's like, oh, no, I got to get out of here quick, right? But it's real. But the cool thing was, is the Bible says that we're his workmanship, created for good works. And so much of the things that I've learned in there and at that place about the enemy and his tactics and things, I can apply because we're in a war. We're in a battle. Amen? That's what we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about the reason, this is what I want to talk about today. The enemy. It's interesting because what the enemy tries to do in there, and I didn't know any of this. It's the Bible says be wise concerning good and simple concerning evil. I never wanted to study any of that or learn any of that. But being over there and these people that actually 200 years official voodoo nation, they worship the devil. And what they do in their worship is they want to stop you. They want to block you. They want you to be oppressed. They want you to be depressed. That's actually what they're doing. Can you imagine that? It's like, what are they doing? And they'll take a voodoo doll of a person, and they'll tie the voodoo doll up to a little chair. And you can see it when you go into the voodoo villages, there'll be a tree, and there'll be voodoo dolls nailed. They nail these little voodoo dolls to the tree. And in their service, what they want is they want that person to be, that they're cursing, they want that person to be, sit down. They want that person to sit down, they want that person to be oppressed, they want that person to be depressed, they want no doors to open up for that person, they don't want that person to have a job, no school, no money, no friends, just sit on the couch and waste your life. Isn't that a trip? I'm like, you're serious? That's what they're doing to us? No wonder everybody's walking around here bummed out. All right? Put your head up, man. Well, what does Jesus say? Jesus is the opposite. He's like, pick up your bed and walk. Right? Not walk, but no, run. Run your race with endurance. Don't sit down. Press to the mark with the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Look to Jesus, right? Run. It's the exact opposite. And I'm like, you're kidding me. That's what they do? That's what they're doing? And I'm like, I'm so thankful that I get to learn about what, you know, the deceitful plotting and the cunning craftiness. That's what, okay, great. So what our solution is to have victory over this, because he's the prince of the power of the air, the spirit who now works in the sons of disobedience, the God of this age, what he's trying to do to us, what he does do to us. Hey, I don't know about you, but sometimes I get stuck. I mean, we're stuck. We're stuck right now. We're just coming out of it. I see the Lord pulling us out, but we get stuck. It's like you got plans. You're going to do something. You want to go do this. And all of a sudden, things are put into place, and now your truck is stuck in the mud, and you can't go anywhere. And that's what we're going to look at. We're going to look at the Ancient of Days, when we come boldly to the throne room of grace to obtain help and mercy in our time of need, how we can keep moving. Amen. How many of you guys want to pick up and keep moving? Amen. We don't want to go around. That's what the children of Israel did. They were just 40 years going around in circles. And finally, Moses said, hey, you've been circling this mountain too long enough. It go in, right? It's time to go in and take your inheritance. And what we're going to look at, and I've been meditating on this for just a couple months. The Lord has been giving this to me. But in the book of Ezra, go to Ezra. Ezra chapter 2, verse 64. In the book of Ezra, the book of Ezra in the beginning here talks about the children of Israel going back from their 70-year captivity to build the temple. Okay, they had to go to Babylon for 70 years. They didn't let the land rest. And so in Ezra 2:64, it says that the whole assembly together was 42,360. So what happened was, is after their 70-year captivity, there was a group of people that made a commitment to do something for the Lord. How many of us here have made a commitment to do something for the Lord? And man, sometimes we're just like, man, I haven't been able to get it done. Nobody's helping me. Nobody's coming together. I don't have the resources. I want to do that. Amen? Is there anyone like that? Raise your hand. That's how I am. It's like, man, I want to get that done, but why can't I get it done, right? And we have to get it done. That's the reason we have to get it done, because in order for you to hear the words, well done, good and faithful servant, number one, you have to hear what the Lord told you to do, and you got to do it. Amen? And it doesn't matter how big it is, because if you're faithful in those small things, God will make you ruler over many, right? When they went to build this temple, you know what they said? Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Just do what you got to do, right? Get involved and be faithful with what God has told you to do. Because listen, we're the body of Christ, and every joint supplies its part, and everyone's supposed to be doing something, right? We're not just supposed to. And if everyone's working together, we're going to have amazing unity. And it says in Psalms 133 that there is where God commands the blessing, when brothers dwell together in unity. And we're doing what we're supposed to do. Every joint supplies its part. Now, here's what happens. These 42,360 people leave Babylon. It's just a remnant. Because when they went to Babylon, Jeremiah said, listen, just go. God has to let the land rest, but just go. And when you go, I'm going to give you houses, I'm going to give you businesses, and I'm going to bless you there. And they went to Babylon, and they were blessed, okay? But now, the 70 years was up, and they were able to go back and do the work of the Lord. And there was just a remnant, 42,360, that said, you know what? I'm going for it. Forget all this. Whoever loses his life will find it. and I'm going back to do the most noble. This is like the ultimate mission trip. Because listen, the temple, when they went to Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar, they smashed the temple, okay? And that was the place in the Jews. I mean, the temple was everything to them. When they smashed that temple, that means there's no more Yom Kippur. That means there's no more atonement. That means they're separated. According to their law, now they're separated from God. And listen, Isaiah 59 says, God says, is my hand short that I can't touch you? No. Is my ear heavy that I can't hear you? No. But your sins and iniquities have separated you from me. In their mind, in the Jewish mind, the way that they were brought up in the scriptures, God was everything to them. God was the one that gave the early and the latter rain. God causes the vegetation for the service of men. He brought the crops forth. He multiplied their cattle. He protected them from their enemies. He protected them from illness, according to Psalms 91. All those things now they don't have. They don't have any of that because they know that God was the one that opens his hand and satisfies every living thing, that every good and perfect gift comes from the Father of lights. And now, because they don't have that temple, they are cut off from that. And so these 42,360 are doing the ultimate, this is the most amazing thing. They're going to go back to rebuild this temple so they can reinstitute the worship that God ordained in the Old Testament to get back into line with God. Okay, now, these 42,360 went off, and they had a clear vision. They knew exactly what they were supposed to do. They had letters from the king of the Medo-Persians that gave them authorization to build it. They had resources. They didn't need permits. They had everything they needed to get the job done. I mean, it looked good, right? They did the fundraiser. They did the bake sales. They did the car washes. They were well equipped, man. They had a clear vision. They knew what they're supposed to do. They had all the resources to go do it, and they went off to go do it. Okay? Now we're going to look what happens. There's one thing that they didn't calculate, and that was the warfare. The spiritual warfare. Amen. Here we go. And so here's what happens. They get over there. They start going off, kumbaya, man, this is the most amazing thing. This is the greatest thing we've ever done. And they get over there, and if you go to Ezra chapter 4, verse 1, it says, the first thing that happened, the adversaries of Judah and Benjamin heard that the descendants of the captivity were building the temple of the Lord of Israel. And it says, the first thing they said, they came to Zerubbabel, the heads of the fathers' houses, and they said to him, let us build with you, for we seek your God as you do, and we have sacrificed to him. So the first thing that the enemy's going to try to do to you, and he does to us, is he tried to join the camp. Amen? You know what? Hey, when Nehemiah went to rebuild the temple, you know what Sandoval, Tobiah, and the Ammonites said? Listen, we'll get in among them. They won't know we're here, and we'll stop the work. Do you realize that that's the enemy's plan, is to get into your house, to get into your business, to get into your church, to get in, you're always moving up, he always get into your leadership, to get in, they won't know we're here, and we'll stop the work. That was the first plan of attack. Oh, no. Do you know that in Haiti, the majority of our ministry is removing the enemy? Oh, man. And you can always tell when you get the enemy out, man. I mean, they make a ruckus. Amen. Ah, I'm calling all the missionaries. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. And they're kicking and screaming as they're going out the gate. But you got to remove them. Do you realize that? You have to get them out. You have to get them out. Because, listen, his plan is to stop the work. Create division and stop the work. So the first thing that happens is he says, let's get him a... He goes, listen, can we join you? And they did good. Zerubbabel goes, nope, you have no part with us. We're not going to do it. So they made it for the first wave there. Go to verse 4. Then the people of the land tried to discourage the people of Judah. They troubled them in building, and they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purposes. Now, they couldn't get in. Okay, they couldn't get onto the worship team. They couldn't be Pastor John's assistant. They couldn't help Paul with the media, right? They couldn't get in. They couldn't be like Judas to handle all the ties, right? Couldn't get in there. So then the next thing they do is they tried to discourage the people of Judah, and they hired counselors to frustrate them. Can you imagine this? Can you imagine? This was written, it tells us in the book of Romans, this was written for our admonition that you guys will know what's going on when you set out to do something for the Lord, right? And here's what happens. They tried to discourage them, and they actually hired people to frustrate them. That would be like somebody going out there and saying, here's where you go. I'm going to give you $3,000 cash. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go in and volunteer to set up the sound. But then I want you to just put everything backwards and totally mess it up. So everybody gets discouraged and everybody gets frustrated. And they want to quit. Can you imagine that? This is what the enemy's doing. Listen, they actually hired counselors against them to frustrate their purposes. Oh, you don't even want to think about that, what's happening there. How many people get discouraged? How many of our kids get discouraged? Like, forget it. Just forget it. I'm not doing it. How about me? How many times do I say, I quit? I've been in Haiti. You know how many times I said, that's it? I'm putting my stuff in my bag. It's over. Call the lady. Tell her to get my flight. I'm leaving in the morning. You guys got, praise God, you guys got it. I'm going to go do children's ministry in the United States. I'm serious. And then all of a sudden it lifts. And you're like, oh, okay. All right, unpack my bag. I hope nobody heard me say that. Hi, guys, how's the team doing? Am I right? I mean, dude, it comes. It's like, man, I am discouraged, man. Nothing's happening, right? This is all part of the enemy's land to try to stop us, man. Listen, in Haiti, it's like 80, I would say 90% of all the organizations that start in Haiti leave. We just had three more leave. My buddy. No one stopped them. We go, where are you going? Well, we're just going to go reevaluate it. And then I heard, oh, he's not coming back. Really? Man, I'm like, really? They're all gone. I'm like, honey, everybody's gone. We're the only ones here. You know, and it's like, this is amazing. But you know what? You know, I honestly believe the only reason we're there is because, you know what we're doing? We're making disciples and we're planting churches. And Jesus said, upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. The enemy has tried everything in the book to stop us, and it never worked. Amen? It's like, it won't work. You know, it was interesting because when I flew into Haiti for the first time, I opened my Bible to Revelation, and I opened my Bible, and there it was. It says, I set before you an open door, and no one can close it. You have a little strength, but have kept my word. I set before you an open door, and no one closed it. And you know what? Do you know how many people that I've had come up and say, I'm shutting this down. I'm closing it up. You guys are done. And I remember just that verse. No one can close it. You won't be able to close it. This is what the Lord said. I told one guy that. He told me that. He goes, yeah, I'm going to close this down. I have the authority to go and close it down. I said, do you know? Oh, I didn't tell you this. He goes, what? I go, did you know when I came here the Lord gave me this verse? That I set before you an open door and no one can close it? I'm going to get his face turned pale. I forgot to share that with you, right? Take that one, right? It is written. He'll just say, remember, that's how Jesus would say it. He departs for a more opportune time. You know what? You know what he said to Joshua? Joshua was going into it was probably like Haiti, man, the Canaanites. He's like, look, no man will be able to stand against you all the days of your life. Just as I was with Moses, I will be with you. He told him that because people, It's not the people. We're not wrestling against the flesh and blood, but it's against principalities and powers that use people to come against us. Paul said, after my departure, savage wolves will rise up among you. They're going to come up from among you. That's the brutal thing, is when it's in the camp, right? It's like, oh no. Remember David, his Ahithophel, his counselor that he took sweet counsel with, turned on him, man. Right?
We have this girl over. She's from Calvary Chapel Downey. Her name is Mickey.
She just came over full time, and she's worked in South Africa for many years, working with women and children. And she came to me and she goes, Pastor Ryan, can I talk to you? And I'm like, yeah. She goes, let me tell you a little bit about myself. I go, okay. And I said, well, that's probably pretty good since you're already here. I'm just happy somebody came. You know what I mean? We'll work it out. Just come, right? It's like the Macedonian man. Come, help, right? So anyway, it's like, we'll take anybody. So anyway, she tells me, there's two things you're going to find out about me. One is that I know when Satan's working. And two, that I'm loyal. And I go, interesting. And she has been totally put to the test on that. I remember, like, I could see things happen to her. Oh, this person's, and I'm like, come on, remember what you told me. Whose side are you on, right? And so anyway, because the enemy tries to come in and get us going against each other. And so what happened here is these 42,360, they go over, and they are fired up, man. They are so fired up. And now it's like this is one thing. I'm almost sure that this is one thing that they didn't calculate when they went over. They had all the physical stuff, okay? But I mean, I remember when we went to school of ministry, people would come in and they told us all this stuff. I've been over in Haiti. I go, why didn't they bring somebody in from like Africa to tell us, man? We're going to get over there, and we're going to get pounded. I mean, no one told us we're going to be getting over here getting pounded. And, I mean, no one talked about the warfare. I mean, everybody talked about how to set up this and how to set up your account and do this and, you know, how to preach the word and lay out a message. But no one told us, man, what do we do, man, when all of a sudden we're getting pummeled, right, by the enemy. And I was like, wow, that somebody needs to teach that. I don't know. I hope it's not me. I don't like thinking about it. Amen. So here's what happened. So in Ezra 4, they tried to join them. They tried to discourage them. And then they hired counselors to frustrate them. And then the next thing the enemy did, and the last thing he did, is they started to talk about him. They wrote a letter back to King Darius, who gave them, or Cyrus, who gave them authorization to come and build, and they made allegations against him. Okay? They said things about him. Now, this worked. This worked. Okay? The king wrote a letter back. They said, these people are rebellious people. They're going to build this temple. They're going to collect all their money. They're going to not send any money. And so what happened? They sent this letter, and the king sent him a letter. Stop. Stop it. You're done. Stop. And they stopped. That's what the enemy wants to do to you, and that's what the enemy wants to do. We'll get in among them. They won't know we're here, and we will stop the work. Okay? And they stopped it. The work stopped, and at work, I looked in different places. It looks like the work was stopped for 15 or 16 years. Now, listen, this is real life stuff, you guys. This is someone who joins into a marriage, joins into a business, joins into an adventure with the Lord or whatever it is, and you're going off, and all of a sudden, something happens, and you get stopped. And they were stopped for 15 years. Now, can you imagine, you guys, the reality of what we're reading about here? Here's these 42,360 people that are so kumbaya. Oh, bro, yeah, we'll FaceTime you. We'll send you. Yeah, you're going to be on whatever it is. I can't wait, you know. We'll give you the reports every day about the progress, right? And they get over there, and it stops. Now, listen. if you're stopped, listen, can you imagine if John called me up and said, Pastor Brian, how's the work going over there? It stopped. It stopped? Okay, I'll call you back in a couple weeks. It still stopped. Still stopped? 2 years. Stopped. 4 years. Stopped. I mean, how much longer do you think that the people helping you out will say, you've been stopped for 8 years, bro. I think we're going to work with somebody in Zimbabwe. No offense. You're still our friend and everything, but you're stopped? Yeah. 16 years. Stopped. Now, this is cool, you guys. Listen, here's what happens. This is a solution. This is what happens to you. This is what happens to me. And this is what happens when the Lord comes in. Amen? This is how it works. If you go to Ezra chapter 5, it says, then the prophet Haggai and Zechariah prophesied to the Jews who were in Judah and Jerusalem in the name of the God of Israel who was over them. And then it goes down here. Go down to verse 3. At that time, who has commanded you to build this temple and finish the wall? Listen, here's what happened. You can read that later, Ezra 5, but here's what happens. 16 years these people are stuck, okay? We don't even want to think about how that looked when our kids are stuck or we're stuck. And here's what happens. All of a sudden, the Lord sent two prophets, Haggai and Zechariah. Dun, 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 dun. Amen. Here they come. Here they come. Watch. They come on the scene. I don't know what they look like. Hey, guys. How you doing? 42,360. Zerubbabel, you're the leader. Stuck, huh? Yeah. Now, here's what happens. The Bible says here in Ezra chapter 5 that Haggai and Zechariah, two by two, contemporaries, started to speak the word to them. And whatever they said to them, they started working again and they finished the temple. Amen? This is what we need to hear, right? This is the application, right? This is the word of God that tells, listen, whatever they said to them, they were able to finish. Now, Haggai, there's two of them. Haggai kind of looked at the physical. Haggai told him, hey, you guys, this is the problem. Listen, you're working on your own houses and you're putting all this money in bags and there's a hole in the bag. Like, yeah, you're right. That's what happens. We can't get ahead. Every time we try to get ahead, we get another bill, right? That's your problem. You're earning all this money for yourself. You're putting it into this bag and there's a hole in the bag. And you're raising all this wheat, this food. You're bringing it into a pile, and God says, "I blow it away. You're wasting your time." Yeah, you're right. That is what's happening, right? That's what Haggai says. And Haggai 2, you know what he says? Okay, here's what I want you to do. Okay, guys, listen. You're stuck. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go and get one stone. Go get one stone for the Temple Mount. Okay? And go over there and put that stone down on the Temple Mount and write that date in the calendar, and God says, I will bless you. Okay? That was Haggai says to him. Start working on the house. Yeah, but you don't know all the warfare and everyone's mad at it. Start working on the house of the Lord, right? What did God tell you to do? What are you here for? And so that's what he tells him. It's kind of practical. It's like good cop, bad cop. Haggai just kind of tells him as it is. But this is what I want to look at, and this is what I really love. Go to Zechariah. Zechariah starts to see these heavenly visions. Okay? He starts to see in the heavenly realm what's really happening to these 42,360 people. They don't know it because they're like us. They're saying, wow, you know, the car's broken. I just got laid off. Now this guy's mad at me. My son's using drugs. So they don't know what's really going on, right? But here's what happens. Zechariah starts to get these heavenly visions. And look, Zechariah chapter 1, Go to Zechariah chapter 1, verse 18. Zechariah 1, 18 says, "And I raised my eyes and looked, and there were four horns." Listen, we already talked about the horns earlier, remember? The horn, speaking pompous words against the Most High God. That's the Antichrist. The horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was rendered in favor of the saints of the Most High, and he gained to the kingdom. This horn, listen, "I raised my eyes and I looked, and there were four horns. And I said to the angel who talked to me, 'What are these?'" I love Zechariah because you know what? He sees these visions and he's like us. What is this? What are these? He keeps asking, "What am I looking at?" And it says, "And he answered me, 'These are the horns that have scattered Judah, Israel, and Jerusalem. The Lord showed me four craftsmen.' I said, 'What are these coming to do?' And he said, 'These are the horns that have scattered Judah so that no one can lift their head, but the craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns of the nations that lifted up their heads against the land of Judah to scatter it.'" Listen, this is the first thing Zechariah sees. Zechariah sees into the heavenly realm where no one can see, and he goes, "There's these horns." What do you mean? These 42,360 people are stuck. What's the problem? These horns are the problem. These horns have come. The horns have scattered Judah so that no one can lift their head. Listen, these people that went there to rebuild this temple, there was these horns that came. And I don't know all about that. We don't really need to know too much about it. Daniel 7 tells us a little bit about the horns. We know they're not good. Okay, they're not good. It's like good and bad. These are not good. These horns came and it said that they scattered everybody, that nobody could lift their head. This is how it describes how these people were. These 42,360 people are in Jerusalem, and after 16 years, nobody could lift their head. They're like this. Can you imagine that? "Pastor Brian, how's the work going over there?" "Not now." "Any praise reports?" "Nothing." Nobody could lift their head. Zerubbabel was leading this mission trip, dude. He says even Zerubbabel. "Aren't you going to call the parents and tell them how everything's going on the mission?" These horns. But this is the cool thing. God sent craftsmen from the throne room. Listen. The craftsmen are coming to terrify them, to cast out the horns. Listen, you guys, this is what happens. I looked up craftsmen in the King James. It just says craftsmen, whatever they are. Amen, they're good. Listen, here's what happens. These horns are there. Nobody can lift their head. And God sends four craftsmen. When the craftsmen showed up, the horns ran for their life. And they were able to start working again. Is that cool? I like this, man. This is the reality of what we're dealing with here, you guys. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. I don't know if it's those ones that say, "Holy, holy, Lord God Almighty," whatever they are, but they came from the throne room. And it says the craftsmen came and they terrified the horns and they left. Oh, it says that it's Haggai chapter 5. That they started building again and finished the temple from the prophecies of Zechariah. Go to Zechariah chapter 4. We're going to look at just a few. Listen, Zechariah chapter 4. The next thing Zechariah sees. He sees these two olive trees. And you got these pipes going into these golden bowls. And the golden bowls are going into this lampstand. You are the light of the world, right? Jesus is the light of the world. We're the light of the world. We let our light so shine before men that they see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. And Zechariah says, "What are these?" Okay? What are these? Go look at 5. "Then the angel who talked with me answered me," said, "You don't know what these are?" He said, "No, my Lord." And he answered, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel." Zerubbabel was leading this trip. Zerubbabel was the guy leading the 42,360. "It's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Who are you, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, you shall become a plain and shall bring forth capstones, shouts of grace to grace." Listen, here's what happened. They had a mountain put in front of them. This is what the enemy does. He tries to block you. We hear it in Haiti. We're going to block you. We're going to stop you. we have a way to block you. That's what they want to do. So imagine driving down the highway here, and there's a giant mountain, pile of dirt, and you're stuck. And there's no way you're going to do it. And what he's saying, listen, if there was a mountain over here, we can't remove a mountain. Everybody here could get shovels after church, and we can go to a mountain, and we can work all day. We can work the next 3 months. But listen, we can't remove a mountain. And what he's saying, listen, you go tell Zerubbabel, this great mountain shall become a plain. I will remove the mountain for you. It says, if you have faith as small as a mustard seed, you could say to this mountain, be ye removed. This mountain will become a plain. It's going to be moved out of the road so we can now press forward into the things the Lord has for us. Amen? This is the second vision he sees. Now, look, check this out. Go to the last vision, Zechariah chapter 6. He says, I turned and I raised my eyes and I looked and behold, four chariots were coming between two mountains. The mountains were mountains of bronze. With the first chariots were red horses, with the second chariot black horses, with the third chariot white horses, with the fourth chariot spotted horses, strong steeds. And he answered me and he said, and the angel who talked with me, I said, what are these, my Lord? And the angel answered me, said, these are the four spirits of heaven who go out from their station before the Lord of all the earth. The one with the black horses is going to the north country. The white horse is going after them. Go down to verse 8. And he called me and he spoke with me saying, see these who go to the north country have given my spirit rest in the north country. You guys, this is awesome stuff. Think about this. When Elijah, the king of Syria, wanted to come and attack Israel, and they did a couple surprise attacks, and both times the Israelites knew they were coming. So the king of Syria gets his guys together. He goes, we got a spy in the camp. Twice we did two surprise attacks, and they knew we were coming. And he goes, who is it? Who's the spy? And somebody raises their hand and says, no, sir, it's not one of us. It's Elijah in the camp of these Israelites. He can tell the king what he's thinking in his closet. The king goes, Elijah? He goes, yeah, he's connected to the Lord. He knows everything you're doing. He goes, okay, let's go get Elijah. He's the problem, right? Amen. And so what happens is Elijah is with his servant. They're in this little place called Dothan. And his servant wakes up in the morning and hears the Syrian army man surrounding Dothan. And the servant's like, Elijah, Elijah, wake up. We're in trouble. Look, look. And so Elijah, man, he goes, Lord, I pray for 1 minute that you'll open my servant's eyes, that he'll really see what's going on. And his servant's eyes were open, and behind the Syrian army were chariots of fire from the Lord. Amen? Amen. And Elijah's, now let me go back to bed. No. No, I don't think he said that. He didn't seem worried, though. He didn't seem worried. You know what he says? There's more with us than there's more with them. Amen? This is the reality. This is what encouraged these people to finish what God told them to do when they knew the truth, because the truth will set you free. I remember we were in a battle, man, a couple months ago. Dude, it was insane. I couldn't even pack my bag. I had to stay there and fight this one, right? It's like, honey, get the kids, get the bottles, get the diapers. We're out of here. Honey, take it easy. My wife lives in Haiti, so when things, she's used to it. But anyway, so we were in a big battle, and I started sending out prayer requests. And I got this one back from this guy. Man, I saved it. He's like, Pastor Brian, there's more with us than there's more with them. Position yourself. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm like, oh. I'm back in the game, amen? You're not going to win. We got to remind ourselves we're not going to lose, right? And this is what's going to happen. We're going to win, and God's going to win, and he's going to add to his church daily, and people are going to get saved, and our kids are, this promise is to you and your children, to those who are far off. We win, amen? This is the good news. And so here's what happens. He sees this vision, and all of a sudden he sees these two bronze mountains, and there's these four chariots coming through these bronze mountains. He's like, what are these? And the chariots with the black horses and the white horses peel off from the red horse and the spotted horses. They peel off, and they go up to where these 42,360 are. Can you imagine that? No one could see it, right? And they were working closely with the craftsmen. You know what I mean? They showed up, man. All I know, it says, listen, when the black horses and the white horses showed up to where these 42,360, it says, these go forth to the north country. They've given rest to my spirit in the north country. Rest. See, Jesus said, you know, my peace I give unto you, right? The word peace and the word rest, the word peace in the New Testament is directly related to the word prosperity. Because if there's conflict in your house and you're fighting and there's no unity, how can two walk together unless they agree? Amen? It's like, man, how good and pleasant it is when brethren dwell together in unity, it's like the anointing oil that flows down on Aaron's beard, and God said, it's there where I command the blessing. And so what happened is when these black horses that we couldn't see, only Zechariah could see in this vision, when they showed up to these 42,360, all of a sudden, there was an amazing peace, and everyone had this ability to start working together, and they started working on the temple, and they finished it. Amen? I remember the last time we were in the last battle, I was over there, it was raging, right? And I had one of our students from Campesia, and he sees me, Leo, right? And he sees me, I'm like this. He's like, Pastor Brian, what's the matter with you? Right? I go, God's sending the craftsmen. He came up, what's the craftsman? I go, read it, man. Zechariah chapter 1. And he came back, he's like, oh, yeah, you're going to send the craftsman. Now he's sending the chariots. Right? Hey, listen, these chariots. So you know what? It's, I love this, man. This is what we have, you guys. The chariots, it says that these are the four spirits of heaven. I don't even know. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine the four spirits? These are like, I don't know if it's Michael and Gabriel or whatever they are, but it says, listen, they're strong steeds. They go out, they're eager to go. They go out from their stations. These are four spirits of heaven who go out from their stations before the Lord of all the earth. These are four spirits that are near the throne. And they're in their station. Come on. It's like the football game, you know. You're not, send me in. Right? Coach, come on. It's 2 minutes left of the last game of the last year. Come on. Let me go, right? It says they're in their state, the four spirits of heaven, in their stations, eager to go, waiting to go. Come on. They've been stuck for 16 years. Can we go, please, right? And he's like, go. And the minute they showed up, man, boom, everyone's like, it says nobody could lift their head. All of a sudden, boom, wow. Strengthen the hands that hang down and the feeble knees. We're back in the game, right? Things change, amen? Dude, these things, I mean, this is amazing to me. You know, we were listening to a CD on the way up here. It's like, pray, pray. That was what the guy kept saying, man. Just pray, right? Don't worry about anything. But pray about everything. Because when your prayers come up to that throne room, you know, man, all of a sudden, wow, stuff starts happening, you know. Who knows? Or maybe there was a little lady on the 42,360. Some lady was over in her house. Oh, God. I'm with a bunch of complainers. Amen. They haven't gotten anything done. We need the temple. And the Lord's like, oh, okay. Amen.
I remember we were over in Haiti. We were there. There's 2 million people living in tents. And they had a Cat 5 or 4 or 5 hurricane right off the coast. All projections were bullseye Haiti. Remember that? I'm like, they don't even have an early warning system. It's not like Fox News, you know, here it comes, right? They don't know anything. I'm out there talking, how you doing? The thing, it's landfall in 8 hours, and you go talk to them. They're going, hey, how you doing, Pastor Brian? Right? They have no clue what's right over there, dude. I mean, this is going to be worse than Katrina. Everyone's dead. I mean, can you imagine? Have you guys ever been through any kind of a, we've been through 3 hurricanes over there. Oh, my gosh. It's like, I love it. The minute you hear about it coming in, like, can I get a flight? They're going, oh, the airport's closed. Oh, what does that mean? Dude, the last one, I mean, that one that hit Sandy, oh, my. Dude, you put your head out. The trees, it's like 150 miles an hour. Coconuts are going by at 120. You're like, oh, I don't know, man. I mean, you are not sleeping, man. It's like, the whole house is soaking wet. Rain's pouring. It's like, man, it's just like, oh, my. You know, here they are. These people have no idea that this thing is going to hit. This is a bad one. And it's like, and then all of a sudden, the hurricane just goes right around the island. And I'm like, I'll bet you there was a little lady in her tent. Oh, God, please spare our country, right? And I was like, all right, fine, right? You know it was. It wasn't me. I'm like, I got to get out of here. Run for your life. We've been stuck in that. Oh, man, I'm glad I got that one there. That was going to be a bad one. I showed up where I was staying, and the guy goes, what are you doing here? I go, what do you mean? He goes, it's landfall in 8 hours. He goes, all the Americans just fled through the Dominican Republic, bro, and you just showed up? And I'm like, wow, I don't know too much about it. And he goes, well, you got to find a place. He goes, you're going to probably, where are you going to put your suitcase? I go, I don't know. He goes, everything's going to get sucked out of the room. I'm like, I don't know, maybe I'll sleep in the bathtub. Well, I mean, I wasn't ready, man. There was nowhere to go. And praise God that thing went. Praise God for that lady, amen. And praise God for the people that pray. And praise God for that prayer meeting before, man. When they said, let's pray, I'm like, oh, yeah, let's pray. I don't have a message yet. I told my wife, I don't have a message. That's funny. I was in there. I was like, I got into the prayer room after they left. And I go, oh, finally, I got some quiet. I'm looking. And then somebody turned off the lights. Walked in, turned off the lights. I'm like, oh, forget it. I'm just going for it. I'll probably mess it up anyway. But, you know, this is what we need to remember. You know what? You know what I tell our students? And I'm almost finished. Listen, this is what I tell our students. The ability that you have to memorize the scripture and to rightly divide the word of truth is directly related to how much of the good works, how much of the ground you're going to be able to take for the Lord. That's what's so cool about this. You guys don't know it, but as you're just going through the scriptures, when the enemy does come in like a flood, you're going to be able to say like Jesus, it is written, it is written, it is written. And then the enemy will have to depart for a more opportune time. Amen. It's the word of God, which is the sword of the spirit, which we're able to keep going. These people were stuck for 16 years. I've never been stuck that long. I don't know if I would have. I mean, but listen, they were discouraged. They were bummed out for 16 years. It says in Zechariah 1, nobody could lift their head. We see our kids come in. What's the matter? I don't talk about it. They go in the room, shut the door. Listen. We know what the problem is. It's not political. It's not racist. It's spiritual, right? That's the problem in the United States. The horns are here.
I don't know. I don't know where they're at. I don't know. I don't care. Right? Resist the devil and he will flee. Right? Draw near to God. We got the solution. Our solution, you guys, is draw near to that throne room of grace. Because he is the solution for every problem that can even come at us. Amen? Oh, man. All you need, listen, all we need is the Ancient of Days to come. Paul and I used to talk, the Ancient of Days. Can you imagine? Hey, the horn made war against the saints and prevailed against them. He was winning until the Ancient of Days came. What's going on over here, guys? You, Lake of Fire, you win. Come on, let's go. Pick up your heads, guys. Amen? That's how it works. And we have access, you guys, to that throne room of grace through God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who is our only mediator. Amen? Isn't that amazing? He ever lives. He's on the right there. Ever lives to pray for you. And it's through his blood that forgives us of our sin that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace to obtain mercy and help in our time of need. And just remember, no weapon ever formed against you will prosper. I'm here to tell you that because I've been over in Haiti for 5 years and we've had all kinds of weapons. He's finished. But you know what? It never prospers. I got to remember that. And what the enemy meant for evil, God is going to use it for good. Amen? Because all things work together for good for us. Because we love God and we're called according to his purpose. Amen? We got to pray. We got to keep the incense going to the throne. Amen? Amen. Lord, we thank you for my brothers. Thank you for my sisters. Thank you for John Bell. Thank you for Paul. Thank you for his family. Lord, thank you for this worship. Thank you for your word. Thank you for Haggai. Thank you for Zechariah. Lord, thank you for recording these things for us that we know. We know the truth. We're going to make it. We're going to go to heaven. And, Lord, every tongue that rises up against us in judgment will be condemned. This is the heritage of the children of the Lord. Bless them, Lord. Let them remember what you told them to do. And let's start moving forward in these last days to finish the work. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, let's all rise and sing this together.
Thank you.
Amen. We'll see you guys on Wednesday. Thank you.